T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This next mystery guest is a 3-time All-Star and a Red Sox Hall of Famer. He finished in the top 5 in the MVP voting in 3 out of his last 4 years in Boston, including winning the 1995 American League MVP. He and another fellow slugger in Frank Thomas are looking to bring sexy back for big men with his clothing brand. Get out your notebook, Ordway. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
What's up, guys? Everybody, it's Mo Vaughn. How are you?
Oh, damn it. And weren't we talking about Mo Vaughn the other day?
We sure were.
Oh, no. What were you saying?
Oh, we were talking about...
I don't know, had a weak moment. I actually said I thought you were one of the greatest leaders I ever played with. And you know, I was just making stuff up, Mo.
He's kissing your ass right now.
I appreciate it. Listen, I need all the help I can get.
Actually, Mo, what we were talking about is we did a whole series on players who, if you had an opportunity to see their career indifferently in Boston, who would it be? And I actually brought your name up because you were great here and then you left. And that first game, was it the first inning, the first pitch, where you had the you stepped on the dugout step out there in Anaheim, right?
Yeah, that was 5 years later. I was out of the game. Yeah, that was tough, you know. I had it going in Boston when I was there. Like I tell people, you know, us athletes, you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you learn so much after the fact. You learn so much 15 years later. You got time to reflect on things, and you know, you just don't know what you don't know. And I'm sitting up there arguing about, you know, things that I can't control. You know, players are never going to be right. The media is always going to win that fight. I wish I had known a lot more things before I got there. But, yeah, you know, we was putting together some serious years, you know, before I left.
You know, Mo, and I remember going out to Anaheim thinking, you would just seem like your mentality was built for this city. Maybe it wasn't built for Cali, you know, Anaheim. Like, you'd like to be in it. You know, you'd like to be that part of that rivalry with the Yankees and the crowd and kind of taking a lot of responsibility. It seemed like it was a lot quieter out there. Do you just think you were built for this city? Was it different when you went out there in Anaheim?
1,000%. And it's nothing to offend or to diss Anaheim, you know. At any way, shoot, they won a World Series after I left, so maybe I was the problem. But, you know, I also believe that when you played in Boston, the things drove you, whether it be the past players, the history, you know, what were the Green Monster, you know, all the rivalries. I tend to agree that always give you the extra win that you needed when you were feeling like you couldn't go. The fans, the pressure, all those things made you go, and it made you, you know, step it up. And I think all of those things helped me as a person, you know, going through my playoff struggles my first time, standing in front of the camera, taking on the questions, and then going back and figuring it out. That's what it's all about. And did I ever catch that again? No, not even. I tell people all the time, I don't even think, you know, I love New York, but it, you know, New York's got two teams on most sides, and you know, there's nothing like the pressure of playing Boston. And if you can handle that, it's great for you.
So what I don't get is, you know, Lou talks about you a lot, being a great leader and handling everything. And when everybody, anytime somebody talks about you, they mention that. Maybe you just embraced it. I think of other guys who come up here and they just, I guess, I don't know, they just, maybe they fight it. They don't want to be honest. They don't want to be exposed. They don't like to be vulnerable. If the Red Sox signed another free agent, what would you tell them? What'd you tell
just
them to
tell
do?
Tell the truth, man. Just. I think if you're not born and bred here, coming out of Pawtucket or the minor leagues, and you step up here, and you got to realize when you play in Boston, I don't care who you are, you are going to get booed. It's just going to happen because you're going to struggle. And especially playing when I played in the 90s when we had won nothing, it was even tougher. It was even tougher when Lou and I played before 2004. People were meaner, nastier. The media was tougher. But you got to be a realist and look in the mirror when you play in Boston, because when you're not playing well, you know what's going to happen, and you got to take that and fix it quickly. And if you can accept that, like, hey, I know when I come back off a series 2-for-26, 3-for-30-33, that's going to be an issue, and I got to correct it. So I would tell any free agent, you know, be prepared. When you're not playing well, they're going to let you know.
Our mystery guest today, Mo Vaughn. There's no question, Mo, and Lou understands that. I understand it. We talk about it all the time. You were born too early, because from 2004 on, it all changed up here. The media, I think, became a lot softer and everything else. Every year you had to listen to 74 freaking years we haven't won a World Series, 75 freaking years, 80 years. People were going to their grave never seeing the Red Sox win. And the pressure changed when they finally won it, to the point it was almost like, and then they went it four times, and you're sitting there going, well, this is like nothing. So you're right, the pressure that you had to deal with, but you were the guy that could take it. We talked the other day about Nomar, and Nomar was great early on, and then the pressure started to hit Nomar, and he had a rough time, you know, with the fans or whatever, but you kind of were the guy up front that would always talk with the media, always talk with us, and kind of took the pressure off everybody else.
I just thought that it was something that I was able to do. It's not easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, easy to do. But I knew it didn't help if I got to throw Nomar in front of the camera, knowing that that's not his thing, or a pitcher, or, you know, maybe I'd say something crazy when I knew it was, you know, somebody else was going to get, you know, hit a little bit harder, and I knew it was really going to affect him in a negative way. I'd say something else just to put the pressure back on the guys that could take it. But it just, you know, I came up with a lot of guys. I was raised by some of the, you know, the Roger Clemens and the Tony Peñas and some of the other guys in the, you know, Ellis Burks, you know, even, you know, Mike Greenwood and I became great friends when it was over, and this was what was part of what was going on and what you had to deal with. And if you could take the pressure off of guys that you know it was really going to affect, that's going to help your ball club.
You know, Mo,
if I get guys, guys to go home and be able to go to sleep, and I'm you know, I can handle it, good. That's what we can do, because ultimately we're just trying to win here.
You know, Nomar kind of stuck around after you, and then here comes Pedro, Manny comes into town, David Ortiz shows up in 03, you win World Series, but it seems like Red Sox Nation now, they think about those players moving forward, they're championship players, and I feel like they didn't appreciate kind of what you were doing in the 90s because you were before that crew. Do you ever think about sticking around, like how that would have changed having Nomar, Manny, you in the middle of that order, how dangerous that could have been?
Listen, it was fun, you know, after 95, you know, I won that, you know, won the MVP, and hell, and, you know, Albert and I could have each won it. It luckily went my way, but it gave me a certain amount of confidence when I walked around and I walked in the clubhouse, I knew guys were looking for me to lead, and we all enjoyed it. It was what it was supposed to be. And I couldn't imagine. Like, I couldn't imagine being on a championship team playing in Fenway Park, walking around the city, you know, with that, able to have that flag back in your back pocket. But I had the flags in my back pocket anyway, because I even know now, just walking around and talking, I live in Florida now, you know, there's nothing but Yankee fans around here. The amount of trash that I get to talk to them now is just unfathomable. And I feel the release. Even though I wasn't on the field the first championship they won in 2004, I felt the release of the stress and the tension and all that came off of me the same way. So I get to feel some of it also, and I walk very proudly about what the Boston Red Sox have become and what they are. And like I say this, you know, it's no knock on anybody else, but we got management now that wants to win. And when you have management and ownership that wants to win, you're going to have a better chance of winning.
So Mo, you know, are you following the game now? Are you following anything that's going on with a lot of these players and, you know, whether they'll come back or not, the 67-page report and the guy? Have you been following this at all?
I've been following a little bit. I just think it's very, very difficult to put people in the stands under these circumstances. Then you got the ownership and the players and the money and all this other stuff. And
yeah, because my thing is real quick. My thing was, someone's going to be blamed for this. Someone's going to be, if they don't play baseball, someone's going to take the blame for this. You think it'll be the players or the owners?
It's always the players. No matter what happens, no matter, because everybody's always going to say the average guy waking up, going to his job every day, is going to say, what are these crazy ball players talking about? I'm making my going to work, and these guys are haggling over this or that. It's never going to go our way. When in turn, you know, our owners are able to absorb this brunt much easier than anybody else, but their earnings are not disclosed. All of our earnings and salaries are disclosed, and that's what the difference is.
Hey, Mo, you still have that MVP collection, that clothing line?
Man, let me tell you something. I've been very lucky, you know. I'm in the affordable housing game in New York City, mm-hmm. And I've been very, very lucky that business is still going well. My clothing line is doing great. I mean, we're up, you know, 200% through this pandemic, which is like unbelievable. I'm down here now. I got Mo Vaughn Baseball Academy. I got an academy down here where I'm coaching. You know, I have, you know, teams, and I coach these kids. You know, I got my son. You know, my son is going to be 8 years old in June, and he's a much better athlete hitter than I ever was. But it's given me the ability to go out and use the game to coach people, coach young people, go, you know, boys and girls, softball also, and get involved. So I've been very fortunate through this time. You know, you're sitting home with your family every day, and I don't know how good that is all the time, but, you know, you know, Jesus Christ. But you guys know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do.
You know, you're happy to go get on the radio for a few hours a day, believe me.
No. Mo, we're doing the shows from our houses right now.
Oh, that's right. You guys are doing the shows, but you're not even leaving the house again.
No.
You're at home, but listen, you know, you get to break the tension a little bit. But I've been very, very fortunate, you know, to be where I am. Things are okay. We're getting through the situation, and hopefully we can get better at it as the months come forward.
That clothing line, I believe you're trying to bring sexy back to big men. So I always wanted to know if you could help out our little big man here, Big O, and try to help him. Any advice how he can get sexy back?
Listen, just when we get off this phone, you're going to text some sizes, and we're going to get you ready, bro. Don't worry about it. I got you. You're all good.
He's not
you're
big and sexy. Right away, he's short and fat.
Mo, since the last time I've seen you, I haven't gotten any taller. I just want you to know.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, Hey, Lou, Derek Bragg always used to tell you, if you can't get tall, get wide.
Braggy, with his shakedown cash.
That's right. Get wide, bro. Don't worry about it.
All right, so they threw me under the bus yesterday, and they asked ML Carr a personal question about me. So I would like you to give us a personal story about Lou Maloney. Maybe rookie season, maybe something that happened early on. Might embarrass him a little bit.
Nothing.
I don't really have, you know, Lou, let me tell you something about Lou. I talk to people about, you know, guys that come up all the time. And Lou was just, if you want to know how to come up as a utility player looking to make your name and get in the game, Lou was the guy that knew how to do that. He was always ready. He was always on time. He was a great teammate. He was always positive when you're feeling terrible. You know, he's got some joke or something to say to break the ice.
He wouldn't shut up.
He's always talking. He's always talking, but he's always positive. And you need – he's what you call guys that are glue guys on the team. If you have everybody, like, you know, selfish and going their own direction, you can't win like that. But he was one of the guys that you know, you say, damn, man, I wish I had that attitude when I was his age. I probably would be a little bit better of a player. I probably would have learned a little bit more. I probably would have been better. You know what I'm saying? But he was. I got nothing to say. I wish I could have something to say about Lou, but I got nothing to say about him.
Well, Mo, I'll say this because you're probably not surprised I do radio for a living because I did like to talk. But I do remember Val coming up to me one day and saying, hey, Mo pulled me aside and told me that I had to go talk to you because you got to shut up sometimes. Lou talks too much, Val. Calm
you know
it down.
That's just friggin' Val throwing me under the bus because he just wanted you to shut up himself.
Sunshine.
Nothing wrong with
Sunshine,
that.
Sunshine, baby.
Have somebody else do it. Well, at least tell us that you got sad or cried when Lou said to you at the end of a game, they're sending me down to Pawtucket again.
Don't do it to me.
I got to go on 95 again.
Oh, man. No, Lou was good.
Mo, it was great catching up with you again. And thank you very much.
Talking,
you got us as our mystery guest. So we really appreciate it. And we're glad things are going well with you. Stay well, okay?
Gaze, I need one more thing. I want you all. If you need a car wash, I need you all to go down to Triple Play Car Wash in North Attleboro and see my boy Terrence and get a car wash.
There you go. Christian, right. You're right down the street.
I know exactly where it's at.
There you go.
Give me the cheat code. What is the code for a discount?
Hey Mo.
The code for the discount is Mo. Call, go see Terrence. He knows who. He knows what it is.
Hey, Mo, I give it to you. You haven't lost your touch. You got a little plug in there. Nice job. I appreciate it.
You know, listen, we got to do what we got to do. Thanks
exactly.
a lot, guys.
All right,
thank
Mo.
You.
Later, man.
See you later. The great Mo Vaughn, our mystery guest today.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.